the dog's all excited, wants to see you. Not just because it needs to go outside, but wants to see you. Right? Dogs are faithful to us. If you've ever been given a job by your parents, hopefully you were trustworthy with that job. Okay, I know you guys are not quite under your parents' thumb like you used to be, but you can remember. You know, all right, I want you to clean your room. And in my house, usually that means spend 10 minutes trying to get out the CD player and the story that you want to listen to while you clean. And then you stand by your dresser listening to the story and just kind of moving objects at random. Not being especially trustworthy, all right, or faithful to that. If you've ever learned to play an instrument, you had to be faithful to practice, all right? I won't pick on my children anymore, but that's a question. Faith, you have to, your parents probably don't give you much of a choice if you're still at the house. You've got to practice, but there's no way to learn that instrument unless you're faithful to that thing. Or if you've been on a sports team, if you're going to be any good, you've got to practice. No, if you become good at any sport, it takes time. You've got to practice. You've got to be faithful. Right? You don't go out and shoot free throws one time and you're good at it. It takes a lot of faithful practice, faithfulness. We should be faithful as Christians, faithful in a Christian life, faithfulness. All right, I've got A through F to talk about. They're pretty quick, though. The first point is, what are we to be faithful with? Kind of already alluded to this. What is this, you know, with learning an instrument? You're supposed to be faithful to practice and practice well, or a sports team. What is it we're to be faithful with or to be trustworthy with? Right? Salvation. You've been saved. Think of the gift that you've been given. We should be trustworthy, should be faithful with that. We've been given the Bible and all kinds of instructions about how to live as Christians. We should be faithful with that. We should be trustworthy with that. We shouldn't treat this Bible like Anne cleaning her room. That we pick it up in the morning and we flip the pages and read something to pretend like we're having our devotions. We should be trustworthy with this thing. It's given to us to instruct us how to live. We've got to be trustworthy with it. We're given the responsibility to tell the unsaved about this thing, about Christ. I mean, God could have done it other ways. Could have had the clouds every morning form a new message from God to people, you know, different languages and things around the world. But he didn't. He told us to do that. And we should be faithful. If you think about that, that's an amazing responsibility that God has told us to be faithful with. Souls going to heaven or hell, and he tells us to go and tell them. We can have blood on our hands, or we can have them clean as we stand before God. We know that those people who don't get saved, ultimately they're going to answer for themselves. But God gives us the job to go and tell them. Faithful to that. Faithful. Basically, we need to be faithful to act and to be a good Christian. Act and be a good Christian. Faithfully reading our Bible. Faithfully praying. Faithful to church. Faithfully witnessing. Faithfully giving our money. You've been given money from God, and you are expected to be trustworthy with it. Giving and then other things. Right? God does expect you to not be foolish with your money. Trustworthy with it. Trustworthy with our money. Trustworthy and faithful to stay away from sin. Faithful to not be proud. Faithful to have the right music. Faithful to have the right friends. Right? Faithful. All the things that especially us, we know what the Bible teaches. We need to faithfully hold to it. Faithfully hold to it. If you play the piano and you learn how to play really well, and at some point you decide, I'm going to do it differently, and you start playing everything wrong. It doesn't matter that you know it all. You're not doing what you know. Right? We need to be faithful. For the most part, we know what this book teaches. We've just got to be faithful to it. Faithfulness, or trustworthy, with this really amazing thing. This verse here in 1 Corinthians says, the mysteries of God, or the secrets, or the things that, it's here in black and white, but there's a whole world of people that don't know what it says. And to them, it's a mystery. It's a secret. And it's our job to give it to them. Faithful. So that's the thing that we're supposed to be faithful with. All right, second thing is, Jesus was faithful. Right, he's not asking us to do something that he didn't do. He was faithful. We know he was God in the flesh, but he was in the flesh. He had a body like we do. And he was faithful in temptation. Imagine not eating for 30 days. We just stop there and imagine that. And then having Satan come and offering you food. And just go ahead and skip lunch, guys, and see how you feel by dinner. He was faithful in temptation. He was faithful helping other people. Think of the times where Christ was tired, or he prayed all night, and then there's this giant crowd of people that need to be healed or need him to address them. He was faithful. The times they were hungry, he provides food. He was faithfully winning souls. He was faithful to the cross. What if he had gone two-thirds of the way and said, all right, this is enough, I'm done. There's no hope. He was faithful. He was faithful, or is faithful, to us right now. That's not something small to think about. You pray, and hopefully you don't start your prayer time by thinking, I wonder if God's there today. He's there. He's listening. He wants us to come to him. That still amazes me. He wants us to come to him. Right? Pastor Dammer likes you guys, but he really doesn't want you to go down there and knock on his door every day and talk to him. Right? He doesn't want that. But God does. That's amazing. He's faithfully there waiting for us, wanting us to come to him, ready to hear our problems, ready to help us with our problems, ready right now to orchestrate our lives if we're willing to obey and follow him. I don't feel like I'm an old man, but I've seen more life than you have, and I'm amazed at how God orchestrates our lives if we're willing to follow him. Sometimes going into those things, we wonder, what is God doing? But man, if we just are faithful to him, he's got great things for us. He is faithful to us even now. All right, we don't wonder. He is faithful. He's not asking us to do something he wasn't. He was literally faithful unto death for us. And then after death, he continues to be faithful. All right, the third point, and this might seem self-evident. We need faith to be faithful. All right, it does require faith. There will be times where you doubt. There'll be times where there's a great big problem. Some big financial thing happens, or somebody's sick that you love, or somebody is attacking the church that you're working in, or you see family after family in our bus route just quit coming and be unconcerned about God all of a sudden. And that doubt begins to creep in. That's where you have to have some faith. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please him. If the Christian life didn't require faith, then we wouldn't need that verse. It's going to require faith. There'll be times that you doubt. There'll be times that we're tired. Last Thursday morning for a bunch of you guys. All day Thursday maybe for a bunch of you guys. Hey, unless you're different, I didn't wake up Thursday morning. We had a ski trip last Wednesday, so we got back late. I didn't wake up Thursday morning extra early, you know, just excited and ready to attack the day and have three-hour devotions. I was calculating, all right, I got to be in class at 7:30. What's the minimum time that I need? Because I was tired. But you should say, you know what? I'm going to have my devotions, even when I'm tired, even when we don't feel like it. Going out visiting, or something like that. It requires faith. I can remember some of the more exciting things that have happened when I've been out visiting have been times where it was after a long day at work, and I thought, man, I just want to go home. I'm tired. But I go out visiting, and we find some new family canvassing or get to witness to a kid that's been coming for a long time. Or faithful. There's been other times where I went out and I was tired and didn't want to go, and nothing exciting happened. But there's been some exciting things happen at those points. Just faithful. It's going to require faith. There'll be times you want to quit. It requires faith. Even though your mind is saying this isn't worth it, you could be doing other things. Think of the fun. Think of the things you're missing. You're saying, no, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to be faithful and have some faith. There'll be times possible that you get confused. Again, we talked about being sick, or maybe somebody else disappoints you and they quit obeying God. And it will unsettle you. I was in college when a guy that I knew in high school shot himself in the head. And that was a little bit unsettling. What's going on, God? That's where it takes faith. You're going to have faith. There'll be times you're scared. You hear pastors come in and tell these stories of things happening and you know, buildings and you know, catastrophes that happen and how God worked through all of that. And they're probably a little scared at some point in there. It's one thing to hear stories about God miraculously providing for you. It's another thing to open up the cupboards and there's nothing, and then have God provide it for you. All right? There'll be times you're scared. It's going to require faith. If you're going to live your life as a faithful Christian, have faith in God. Don't give up the faith. Fourth point. There'll be times that you fail. And if you're going to be faithful, you've got to get back up. Look in Proverbs 24. I don't want you to have in mind that you're going to become perfect. But we've got to get back up. Verse 16. For a just man, it's the middle of a verse, or a sentence, but that's all right. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. So we have a just man, and it doesn't say that he never falls. He trips and falls, and he gets back up, brushes himself off, and keeps going. There are going to be times that you fail. It's going to happen. You can probably think back to times that you failed. In minor or maybe even major ways, you blew it. You've got to get up and keep going. We can look at or think of people in the Bible. The two that stand out to me as failing and having different responses are King Saul and King David. They both blew it. Just Saul never got back up to keep going. When David blew it and he was confronted, he got right. He didn't worry if he looked bad. He got it right. He got up and kept going. It's never fun to blow it and get caught. But if you're going to be faithful at that point, you get it right and keep going. If we're going to be faithful, we've got to get back up and keep going. We're not going to be perfect. I jot down a couple of things here. God will forgive us. That's amazing to me. It's amazing that he saves us, and then we get saved, and we go on and we do something incredibly stupid or sinful. And he's waiting for us to come back for forgiveness. He'll forgive us. God still loves us. Still loves us. God wants to restore us. He wants you to get right and get back and live with him. God will comfort you. If you've ever really blew it, you can appreciate that. Your friends might look at you and you can tell what's going on in their mind, but you can go to God. There's comfort. He'll comfort you. God can take away the guilt, that weight of, you know, you did something really wrong. God can take that away. It's an amazing thing. Right? If we're going to be faithful, it's going to require us getting back up and continuing to go. Get with God, ask forgiveness, might have to talk to some other people, get things right, and keep going. We're not going to be perfect, but we can get up and continue to be faithful. Fifth thing is, if we live this life of faithfulness, we're not going to regret it while we're alive on this earth. You're not going to get to some point where an old man like Mr. Amos, bald and decrepit, and say, man, that was a waste. Why did I serve God? It's not going to happen. It provides, being faithful to God, a satisfying and joyful life. If you've ever been on a diet and you're approaching a meal, and Mr. Wright's terrible. He always has some sort of dessert down there. Right? And you're at some meal and there's all these good desserts and there's a salad. Okay, and you're faithful to your diet. You get your salad and you get more salad. You just keep eating salad because you're desperate. But you're faithful to your diet. Afterwards, once the crisis has passed and you're not shaking to get the sugar that you see in front of you, there's some real satisfaction because you were faithful. You could eat that cupcake, or the Mrs. Trout makes brownies from my bus. They're about 4x4 square and about 2 inches tall, with frosting and chocolate chips and chocolate syrup. You could throw that thing down, and then the satisfaction drops off the off the edge when you're holding your stomach because you feel sick. But man, you give in, and then the satisfaction is over. To me, that's a good picture of what it's like. If you're going to be faithful to God, there'll be times where there's that temptation. Turn that away and stay faithful to God. And there's a life of satisfaction and joy there. If you are faithful to God, you'll have the opportunity to see people get saved. And you just, we talk about that all the time. Just think about that. Somebody that was going to go to hell, now they're going to heaven, and you were somehow involved in it. That's immensely satisfying. You can have your family please God. A good marriage, as we heard last night. Children that grow up and live for God. You have heaven to look forward to. Go back to when your parents gave you a job. If you're doing that faithfully, then you're kind of excited to see your parents come home. Okay, if we told Ann to clean a room and me and my wife went visiting, and she does it perfect, she's excited. Mom and Dad are coming home. And she's going to be smiling, and she might be saying, Dad, why don't you come back to my room? I want to show you, and she'll make up some excuse to get me in her room because she wants me to see that she did a good job. That's never happened, if you're wondering. But think of entering heaven, having been faithful. Not entering heaven thinking, wow, did I waste my life? We have heaven to look forward to. And the Bible talks about a peace that passeth all understanding. It really, if you're not saved, you can't explain it. That comes with being a Christian. If you choose not to be faithful, Satan provides a very empty and sad life. Very empty and sad. It's like that brownie. It looks really good, and you taste it, and it's really good going down, and then it hits your stomach. And all of a sudden, you don't feel so good. That's Satan. That's not being faithful to God. It looks good, but there are real results to sin. There's real guilt and shame that comes with sin. There are ruined families and ruined marriages with sin. There's disease and sickness with sin. Satan tries to tantalize us. He doesn't tell us about that. Right? But if we're faithful to God, there's that satisfying and joyful life. And then the last thing, we'll be glad when we get to heaven. I kind of already alluded to this a little bit. We'll be glad when we get to heaven. I don't want to walk onto the streets of gold knowing I've wasted my life. I know I'm not going to be perfect. We don't want to get proud and tell God how faithful we are and how glad he's going to be when we get to heaven. But we can walk into heaven knowing we have done our dead level best. We read that verse in Revelation chapter 2. It talks about the being faithful unto death and a crown waiting for us. If you look to Matthew 25, in the middle of a well-known parable, down to verse 21, this is the guy that had the 5 talents and gained 5 more. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Well done. If you've ever done a job for your parents, like we've alluded to, and they say, "Wow, that was a good job," or maybe you turned in a project and the teacher said, "Wow, that was excellent." There's some satisfaction there. Imagine God. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. We will not be sad at that point. At that point, you're not going to think, "Man, I think I put too much money in the offering." That's not going to go through your head. You're not going to think, "Man, I wish I'd have done this." Or you're going to think, "Man, I'm glad I was faithful." We'll be faithful. We'll be happy then. One last verse. Look in Revelation chapter 14. As I get to be not so young, this means more and more to me. Revelation 14. I'll just read 14, verse 13. "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Rest in heaven. Rest. I don't know about you, but I really get sick at how much my flesh wants to sin. I get sick of it. It's going to be gone. It's going to be gone. All right? I'll be done disappointing Christ. Rest. We can't imagine, I don't think, what it's going to be like. We're not going to be sorry when we get to heaven if we were faithful. All right, as we close this up, let me just mention 2 things. First of all, do you need to get back up? Maybe you're the one that you've tripped and fallen, and there's dirt all over your clothes. Get clean, brush yourself off, and keep going. Do you need to get back up? And then secondly, is there some area where you need to be more faithful? Maybe you've not been praying and reading your Bible like you should. Maybe you've not been faithful visiting, or whatever the area is. There's some area you know what the Bible says. You've just not been very faithful at it. So do you need to get back up? Or is there some area where you've not been as faithful as you should be, and you need to fix that? So, if we would, let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. You can go and stand at your feet. I'll pray, and then as the instruments play, if you need to come down to deal with God, the altar is here. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for how faithful you are to us. And help us to be faithful in return. We can't imagine what heaven is like and what it'll be like to see your face having lived faithful lives as Christians. Lord, help us when we fall and stumble and mess up to get up and get right and keep moving. Lord, we ask that you would bless this invitation as people come to deal with you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.